The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You're listening to the Mommy Labor Nurse Podcast, episode number 48. Hey guys, happy Monday. We are doing another collaborative podcast episode today. I got so much good feedback from you guys on my birth story with Ryland when I talked with my sister Jenna and my other employee Tiffany, that you guys love that episode of me and the two of them sitting down and just having a conversation. So we decided to do that again and talk about my postpartum experience. So one of the things that we decided to do was break this episode up into two parts. So this is part one of two. Postpartum, as I know, because I've been through it twice now, can sometimes throw you for a loop. It's hard. It's very, very hard. And we talk about that in this episode, and I'm sure we're going to talk about it in part two as well. So this is something that I talk about in my course and that I've talked about on, you know, my Instagram, my page, that pregnancy can be hard, and we prepare for pregnancy and we take birth courses to prepare for labor and birth. I personally experienced this the first go around with Walter, that labor was super hard and I knew that I had to prepare for that, but nobody really told me exactly how hard postpartum was and how to prepare for that. I thought I knew what I was doing because I'm a labor and delivery nurse, and you know, you think you kind of know what you're getting into because I take care of patients, you know, in the first couple hours postpartum. So I'm like, I know what to expect, but it was pretty hard, and it wasn't certainly quite as hard this go around, but it, you know, still absolutely some challenges. The emotions, you know, this lack of sleep, the body changes, especially if it's your first baby, your normal becomes very, very different, and that can be very, very hard for people. Personally, with Walter, with my first, I was not ready for the complete slap in the face that postpartum was for me. And I want to make it clear to you guys that it's super hard, but I don't want to scare you. You know, this is not me scaring you. I just wish someone had told me that the postpartum period, you know, that first time period after you have a baby, may single-handedly be the hardest time period of your entire life. And that's okay. Honestly, this time around has been a whole lot easier, and I attribute it to a lot of different things. I think mainly just having the experience of going through it the first time and knowing what to expect is just that, you know, helps more than anything just experience-wise. But I think support goes a long way, having the right support in place, whether that is having a therapist on hand that you can talk to, having your family on hand to help with meals or with childcare or with whatever. Support is a big, big one. And not being afraid to ask for help if you need it. Surround yourself with people who love you and people who will help you. And keep your perspective. You know, babies do eventually get older. They eventually talk. They eventually tell you what you want. I think that was one of the hardest things for me, especially with Walter the first time, is that I just didn't know what he wanted. Or I was trying to constantly figure out what he wanted because he couldn't talk to me. But yeah. They eventually get older. They eventually sleep more than 2 hours at a time. They eventually grow and they feed themselves and dress themselves and grow up. And you're not always going to be bleeding. Your boobs won't always leak. Your stitches will heal. And your C-section scar will fade. It is so, so hard, but you will get through it. So without further ado, let's talk about my postpartum experience. Let's begin talking about my postpartum experience with Ryland.
You're listening to the Mommy Labor Nurse Podcast, where we firmly believe in the power of education when it comes to giving birth. Tune in each week as we dive into pregnancy-related topics, expert interviews, and a variety of birth stories. As a reminder, anything you hear on this podcast is not medical advice. Please see mommylabornurse.com/disclaimer for more details. And now, here's your host, educator, registered nurse, and fellow mom, Liesl Teen.
Hi, Tiffany and Jenna. Welcome to the Mommy Labor Nurse podcast. Again, we're doing, I guess it's not part two. I guess this is a whole different episode. We're doing our postpartum episode today, guys. All about my postpartum experience. If you listened a few episodes ago, we, the three of us, talked about my birth story extensively, and now we are transitioning into my postpartum experience. So if you guys, if you know, you haven't listened to that episode and you don't know who Tiffany or Jenna are, if you guys want to just briefly introduce yourselves, Jenna, you want to go ahead and just tell people who you are, and then Tiffany can talk about herself.
Yeah, so I am Liesl's sister, Jenna, also her assistant. And like I said in the last podcast, I kind of just do all the background stuff for her. And yeah, I'm just here to talk about your postpartum experience. I don't really have any experience myself, so it's kind of nice to have another perspective of somebody who's not a mom and
clueless.
It's really pretty much. Yes.
So. No, you're definitely not clueless. I would not call you clueless at all. Like you have a lot of, especially after, you know, doing what you do now, I feel like you know more than the average, how old are you, 24-year-old who doesn't have any kids?
For sure.
So, okay, cool. Okay, well, Tiffany, who are you?
So I'm Tiffany. I am one of Liesl's good friends. We also work together at the hospital as labor and delivery nurses. And I am one of the newest members of Mommy Labor Nurse. I started working for Mommy Labor Nurse in March and have recently come on full time.
Yay. Okay, cool. All right, guys. Well, we can go ahead and just start. I don't know which one of you guys wants to start with the first question. But yeah, like I said, we're going to be talking. Basically, where we left off last time was Rylan just came out of me and my thoughts kind of about that. So now we're just going to talk about all of the aftermath.
Okay. So, yep, like Liesl just said, we finished the last podcast with Rylan being born. So let's kick off this one with the very next thing that happened, your placenta being delivered. Yes. Tell us how that felt. Did it hurt? How was it compared to the placenta coming out with, you know, Rylan, a baby coming out?
Yeah. Way different. Not a piece of cake, I would say, but definitely way different than a bony, hard, large baby, right? So like when you push your baby out, yeah, that's not so nice. And then the placenta just kind of feels like a big mound of jello. I think that's how I described it with Walter, and it felt kind of exactly the same. I gave a little bit of effort, pushing it out when my provider, you know, my doctor kind of saw that it was ready to come out. And then, you know, gave a little bit of push and then it just kind of came out. I didn't have any sort of complications in terms of like any of it being, you know, still inside. They had to like, you know, do any exploration to like get it out or anything. It just kind of plopped out. And then, you know, she stitched me up for my tear, which we'll talk about next. But yeah, placenta was, I want to say it's a piece of cake, but it really wasn't a piece of cake. But in comparison to a baby coming out of me, yeah, it was no big deal, especially because I didn't have any complications. It just kind of, you know, kind of came out of me normally.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because I think when I had kids, you know, I've had two kids and I was really surprised at how uncomfortable it was with the placenta coming out. I don't know why. I just always
just like pressure, like a lot of,
yeah. Yeah. I always thought that it was just going to be this like simple thing and you would barely feel it. And you know, it was really fast.
Yeah.
Like just a couple of seconds, but I remember being like, oh, this,
yeah.
Oh my gosh, that well, was I think you, not fun.
No, I think you're right. I think it's like, because you've probably already torn if you're going to tear. Okay. So you're already just like sore from tearing and a baby just came out of you. And then it's like, it's not as intense as the baby. You're not having a whole nother baby unless you are,
you have multiples or something, but you're not having like a whole nother baby, but it's still a large object coming out of your vagina that was just kind of traumatized from the baby coming out.
Yeah,
so yeah, in that sense, it wasn't fun. But again, I'm not trying to like put fear in anybody's minds. It's not like a horrible, horrible, horrible experience.
Yeah. So I wanted to kind of talk about your tear. Mm-hmm. So explain to us like kind of the process of how they repaired it. How long did it take? And I know you discussed having a second degree tear. So what was that like?
Yeah. So I had pretty much the same tear that I had with Walter, which kind of a bummer. I was expecting a little bit less, or not to tear at all with him, but you know, of course you expect something and then it doesn't happen. So yeah, I had a second degree tear, and just what that is, it's like a little bit deeper, into that perineal muscle. And she told me that when she was looking at it, it was kind of just like right on that same line of where I had my same even second degree tear with Walter the first time. So yeah, I'm fairly sure that I remember tearing, and I tore kind of as he was, I think I talked about it in the first episode, but as he was kind of spinning from OP to OA, to come out, and you know, it was just like, oh yeah, I just tore. Like I just kind of felt that. So yeah, afterwards, she stitched me up. It was not a long process. She gave me a little bit of lidocaine down there, which is just like some numbing medication. And I remember being tense about that, and you know, I remember being tense about the lidocaine with Walter, like, oh crap, I don't want a needle down there after I just had a baby. Like that doesn't sound fun at all. But
yeah,
it really wasn't that bad. It was just like a sting. I do that a lot where I'm like anticipating something to be really, really bad, and I'm like tensing up, and then it's like, okay, that's not that bad. So that's kind of how that was. So yeah, she gave me a little bit of lidocaine to stitch it up. And after the lidocaine, after she, you know, gave me the lidocaine, and just like a little pinch, I got nice and numb down there. And then it wasn't, I don't want to say it was like pain free, and I was just kind of laying there and she was stitching me up. I could still kind of feel her fingers and just feel uncomfortable of like, okay, there's somebody down there stitching me up. So you're just kind of like aware of it. But yeah, the stitching, you know, wasn't too bad. That took 5 or 10 minutes, not too long at all.
Okay. So let's talk about the first 2 hours after delivery. Usually, I think in most hospitals, we consider the first 2 hours after baby is born a recovery period. And once those first 2 hours are finished with, you kind of move on from that time. So what kind of things were happening during those first couple of hours after he was born?
Yeah. So what, you know, my doctor, like I said, just stitched me up and got me kind of back together. My nurse, both my nurses were still in there, I think, at that point. And my one nurse kind of put the bed back together and kind of cleaned me up with some soapy water, because, you know, there's a lot of blood when you have a baby. So there's blood everywhere. So she's, you know, just kind of cleaning me up. And I know she put an ice pack down there because I was a little bit sore. So she put an ice pack down on my bottom and sat me kind of back up. And at that point, Ryland was on me the whole time. I don't think they ever they didn't take him off. Now I'm like not remembering, but they never took him off. So he was kind of born and then laid on my chest. And then, you know, he didn't go from there to the, you know, to get weighed or to get measurements or anything until a good hour after delivery. So he was just kind of there. Like I said, my nurse got me cleaned up, got me sat up, and she did some fundle rubs. And I think we're going to talk about fundle rubs and what they kind of are, but she was doing fundle rubs and checking my bleeding. My baby was skin to skin still at this point. And I think I didn't start breastfeeding him until a good hour. It was kind of around the same time that he got weighed. I'm trying to think now, but I don't think I started breastfeeding him until a good hour, because he was just kind of chilling. And he was actually, I remember him being a little bit ornery. and just crying a whole lot after delivery, not being like a super quiet baby. And I think it was just because he was OP and he was banging his head against my pelvis. So his head was definitely like a little bit swollen on top and he was probably just irritated from that. But I remember him being like, he was like, you know, like the whole couple first hours that we were in that room, and it was also like 4:30 in the morning. So, So bundle rubs, she was checking my bleeding. I was just recovering from like what the heck just happened to me, breathing and just kind of like, oh my gosh, like what just happened? Brian was still with me. I know Brian had to step out of the room, so he probably left 20 or 25 minutes after Rylan came out, maybe not even that long. He just needed to go and walk around because he just needs to like remove himself from like if he's way too like stressed out or just, you know, he was just very overwhelmed. So he needed to step out of the room. So he stepped out. Yeah. I think my nurses just kind of sat in there with me afterwards. And then at the hour mark, yeah, they took him same room. They didn't take him out of the room or anything, but took him over to the warmer and just weighed him, got his weight and did his measurements and just kind of did a little assessment on him. And then, yeah, I think I breastfed after that. Maybe I breastfed before. I don't know. I think I actually breastfed twice while I was in there. I don't even remember. It was 4:30 in the morning. but yeah, did newborn assessment. And then at that point, I think I got up with my nurse. So I got out of bed for the first time and I remember it feeling like, okay, I'm going to get up and feeling like my butt was still in the bed, almost like a prolapse-y kind of feeling, if that makes sense. So that not being so fun and feeling so great, but that I remember feeling that heaviness with Walter. So I was just at least prepared for it. But yeah, so got up with my nurse, went to the bathroom, cleaned up. I didn't have any, you know, dizziness or, you know, any symptoms or anything like that. I was, you know, pretty good to go. So I did pee, on the toilet and I was fine. And my bleeding, you know, still was fine. I didn't have any like super excess bleeding, and then kind of got back into the bed. And I know I ate something, but I don't even remember what I ate in that first 2 hours. Yeah. And then kind of by that point, I think it was shift change. So I stayed, well, yeah, at that point, Tiffany, you were in there. So, I stayed in my room for a little bit longer than that 2 hours. And then, yeah, then we headed over to postpartum.
So let's go back and just talk about fundle rubs real quick.
Yeah.
Can you explain what they are? Why are they important? Do they hurt?
Yeah. So they don't feel so good. They do hurt. I'm not going to sugarcoat that at all, but yeah, basically fundal rubs are, and I know that this is actually different. I'm seeing stuff that this is different in different countries. They don't do fundal rubs as routinely in different countries, but here in the United States, at least the hospital that we work at, we do fundal rubs for the purpose of trying to prevent postpartum hemorrhage and trying to detect if somebody is like starting to bleed too much. So basically what a fundal rub is, you lay, you know, mom all the way down and you're just kind of feeling that top part of the uterus, which is the fundal part. And so I'm just as a nurse, I'm just kind of feeling the top of your fundus of your uterus and kind of pushing my hand down a few inches and I'm kind of pushing down into your belly button and then down into your vagina. If that makes sense. It doesn't sound so great, but that's kind of what I'm doing. I know. So kind of pushing down and just feeling that top part of that uterus. And I'm pushing fairly hard at first just to feel and make sure that it is nice and firm, because we want it to be nice and firm and we want it to be nice and centralized in your abdomen, like right in the middle, because if it's off to the side, that might mean that your bladder is, you know, filling up a little bit. If it's off to the side, it might not be able to clamp down like it needs to. So that's really, you know, what it's doing after delivery is your placenta just came out and your body's like, okay, I'm not pregnant anymore. This uterus needs to shrink and cut off this blood supply so we don't bleed, you know, continue a blood supply to that area and bleed and bleed and bleed and bleed. And that's how people get postpartum hemorrhages and, you know, bad things happen. So that's what your uterus is supposed to do, is to shrink down and get nice and hard and contract in the middle of your stomach. So that's kind of what I'm feeling when I'm doing a fundal rub. And it's very quick, unless I do feel something different. So it's off to the side, or if it's what we call boggy, where it's not super hard, it's more soft, then it might take a little bit longer for me to feel, you know, and do a fundal rub. But usually it's a quick little, okay, you're good, and then I'll sit you back up. But yeah, unfortunately it doesn't feel so good. I thought it wasn't as bad. I don't remember it being as bad as it was with Walter this time. Maybe she didn't do as many this time. I don't exactly remember. But yeah, still not fun.
Oh yeah. How often do they do fundal rubs? Like, is it just once and done, or do you have to do it every so often?
Yeah. So here, like I said, it's different in a lot of areas, but here right. In the United States, the hospital that we work at, in those first 2 hours, we do try to do them about every 15 minutes just to make sure. Yeah. Just to make sure that if there's any sort of, you know, if it's kind of, you know, if it's starting to get boggy, or if it's you know, your bladder is starting to get really full and then it's starting to get boggy, we're catching it really mm-hmm. fast. So we do want to do that in that first 2 hours for every, you know, about every 15 minutes, in that first 2 hours. And then after that, they do it a lot less frequent. They do it, you know, every few hours. So yeah, okay. Unfortunately, not so fun, but it is, I mean, I can say that there's been plenty of times when I've caught, I mean, and Tiffany will probably agree with me, I've caught plenty of postpartum hemorrhages by doing those fundal rubs like pretty diligently. I mean, I feel like they're unfortunately not so fun, but they are mm-hmm. somewhat necessary.
Important, so, right?
Yeah, important, right.
Okay, good. All right. Well, you mentioned staying in your labor and delivery room for about 2 hours. And I actually didn't know this, but in some hospitals, the labor and delivery room and the postpartum room are the same, but at the mm-hmm. hospital that you delivered at, they were different. Mm-hmm. So can you tell us a little bit about when you transitioned into your postpartum room?
Yeah. So no, yeah, you're right. So some hospitals, depends on where you are. If it's a smaller hospital, they tend to be together like that. But this is a larger hospital where I live, where mm-hmm. I work at. So yeah. So basically, I mean, all that happened is, you know, you get a different nurse, your nurse kind of puts you in a wheelchair and wheels you over to postpartum, and your labor and delivery nurse gives report on you, tells your postpartum nurse all about your labor experience and your health history and all that good stuff. And then getting to your postpartum room, the postpartum nurse kind of settles you in and gives you just general kind of information at first, safety kind of stuff, what to do, you know, don't leave your newborn, don't run outside and leave the baby in the room, you know, to call us if you need this, make sure you call us before you get up the first time, all of that good stuff. And they do another one of those fundal rubs, at least, you know, they do at our hospital, they do another one of those fundal rubs and just kind of a general assessment on you to make sure everything's okay, get a vital sign check. And that's something I didn't even say. They get your vital signs routinely, in that first 2 hours too, just to make sure your vitals are okay and your pulse isn't too high, your blood pressure is not too low or anything like that. So go over to postpartum. The nurse is, you know, doing an assessment on you. And then, you know, depending on what time it is, what is kind of going on, like it was right after shift change and we were both exhausted because we had been up all night. So we were like, don't bother us for a good few hours. I'm going to breastfeed my baby and then I want to like sleep. And I didn't even end up sleeping because of course I had like just labor high. So like I wasn't even, but Brian definitely slept for a good few hours after that and he felt better. So yeah, but depending on what time it is, you know, if you deliver really fast during the day and you're not super tired, they might have the pediatrician then come afterwards. They might have, you know, something else kind of going on, but that's just kind of initially, my experience. I think she did give me a Motrin, you know, when I got over there, but yeah, at that point she kind of assessed me. And since I was a second time mom, she gave me some education. But she kind of knew that I knew to breastfeed my baby every 2 to 3 hours and to, you know, let them know if he pee, you know, if he peed or if he pooped or whatever. So it wasn't like a super in-depth education series when I got over there. But yeah, then she left me alone and we were good for a good few hours and I could just kind of rest, which I needed to at least rest. I don't remember sleeping heavy at that point, but I do remember I was like, I just need to lay in the bed for a long time.
Yeah, I think that's something important for yes. new moms to remember, or, you know, second time moms or 10th time moms, is that there really is this thing called like birth high, you know, and labor yes. high and whatnot, where you have this insane amount of adrenaline running through your body and like you physically can't sleep. I mean, I very vividly remember that happening to me.
Yeah. I there was no way.
Yeah. Even if I wanted to, I couldn't. But then what happens is like you crash and just get overwhelmed with sleep. Yes. And it can be really, really hard. Thank you, COVID, also, by the way, because this is yes. easier, but it can be really hard when you have family and friends that want to come visit. I know, you know, you gave birth, obviously, at the hospital that you work at. So like coworkers want to come and stop by and say, hey, and like, this is kind of a time that you need to advocate for yourself. And if you're yes. comfortable advocating for yourself, have your partner do it too, to just say like, no visitors
alone.
you gotta give me some time. And I think most people are mindful of that, but I know, you know, excited, anxious family members can be a yeah. little bit difficult to say no to, but mm-hmm. usually what I recommend it, like we talked about, it kind of depends on what time you delivered, but like after lunchtime, if you delivered in the middle of the night or early in the morning, after lunchtime at like 12 or 1, I usually tell people like no visitors mm-hmm. for a couple of hours. Mm-hmm. And I say that because cluster feeding mm-hmm. usually is at its worst if you're breastfeeding in the nighttime hours. And, mm-hmm. you know, day one isn't usually too bad, but it gets, you know, worse as baby gets, you know, day two.
More awake and more yeah. aware that they need to eat. Yes.
But like, you know, at 2 p.m, you might not feel tired, but I promise it's going to hit later on. And you're, mm-hmm. and when it hits later on, it's inevitably going to be the time when baby is awake and wanting to cluster feed. So just remember that, keep that in mind to just have at least, you know, a couple of hours to yourself where you can get some sleep when baby is sleeping and keep the visitors away.
Yes. And I remember that too. And it's funny that you say that because my nurse, it was Lois, during day shift, she's like, Liesl, just, I know you don't want to sleep, but I really think you should sleep. And I'm like, okay, Lois, I know I need to sleep. It's so hard. But you're totally right, Tiffany, about COVID and how that has helped a lot by people not having visitors in the hospital, because you do just have that alone time. That was so nice. Honestly, I still had a couple coworkers come see me, when I was in my postpartum room, but it wasn't like before. And I didn't have any of my family. We just kind of, you know, FaceTimed, which was, you know, kind of nice. But yeah, like I remember such a difference with Walter the first time, and I didn't even have that much family come and see me in the hospital, but it was just, I delivered at around the same time with Walter in the middle of the night. And my family, what time did you guys get there? In the afternoon sometime. And then, like Brian's family, same thing. It was like, I don't even remember which one of you guys came first. I know my parents were there in the middle of the night. And then they came the next day as well to see Walter. But yeah, it felt very overwhelming because I'm like, I mean, they weren't even there that long, but it's like, okay, you gotta, you know, breastfeed if you're going to breastfeed, yeah. you know, okay, do I need to do this or do you need to do that? Or do I need to take my Motrin it's you're so different, especially that first baby. Your life changes so drastically, and especially in that first 24 hours, it's so weirdly different. That's the best way I can describe it. So you're just off. I don't know. That's the best way I can describe it. But yeah, thank you, COVID. I mean, COVID has been bad for a lot of things, but very good for postpartum time, because yeah, there's no visitors and moms can just breastfeed, you know, if they want to breastfeed, cluster feed, if they want to cluster feed. I was even, you know, talking to like our friend Sandy, our lactation consultant. She was like, yeah, I've seen breastfeeding rates increase because moms are able to not be, you know, anxious about breastfeeding around visitors and they just have more time and they're just more relaxed and you just have this 48 hours in the hospital of like help from your nurses and all of this stuff. So yeah, it was a lot better just being a second time mom this time, with that, you know, that time in the hospital, but also not having visitors. Sorry, Jenna, because you were one of those visitors.
Oh, that's fine.
I know. That's what's nice about working at the same hospital as you is I got to come and see you. And
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Comes in handy.
Yes.
Okay. So let's go and start talking about that first 24 to 48 hours after delivery. I want you to talk about everything you can think of. Bleeding, your tear, pain that you might have been having, how breastfeeding was going.
Okay. So bleeding. I wasn't bleeding a ton, but it was more than a heavy period, I would say. And it was, you know, nice and red. I really didn't have very many clots, but it was a good amount that every couple hours, you know, I was getting up to use the bathroom and having to change my pad. I don't think there was a time when I didn't get up to go pee and not change my pad. So just think of it like that. And that was my experience. Some people are going to be bleeding a little bit more. Some people are going to be bleeding a little bit less, especially in that first 24 hours. I've even seen a side note, like with C-section, if you have a C-section, sometimes you have a little bit less bleeding initially because they kind of irrigate things and you're not like, you just barely have any blood. I don't know. That's just my experience and what I've heard from people. So, but personally, yeah, it was kind of a little bit more than a heavy period for that first 24 hours while I was there, changing my pad kind of frequently. And then with my tear, yeah, so that wasn't so fun. I remember that wasn't so fun. So I had I had a second degree tear, like I said, and I had the Dermaplast spray in my bathroom. So that is just like some numbing spray. And a little Perry bottle, which is like a little squirt bottle, that those are right there by the toilet. But I just remember every time I got up, I was just like, still felt that, you know, heavy kind of feeling and like, oh God, I just had a baby. Like this sucks. I mean, I know it's going to get better because I've had one before. I know it's going to get better, but like, oh, this is not so fun. So yeah, cleaning my tear also, you know, with the Perry bottle and doing the Dermaplast every single time. And then the thing that honestly was the worst, and I can talk about this more afterwards too, because I experienced it, was my hemorrhoids. My hemorrhoids were terrible. So I did have tux pads and I was doing tux pads, but those were certainly not fun to experience in that first 24 hours when they were nice and like fresh. Say.
Yeah, I think that's why you talked about earlier how you felt like your butt was like,
yes, that's probably what it was.
That is because I had really bad hemorrhoids with my first, and I remember when you had Walter, you told me this. You were like, I feel like my butt hole is falling out.
Yes.
And I was like,
oh my gosh,
like that's so weird. That's such a weird thing. And then I gave birth and had really bad hemorrhoids. And I was like, oh my gosh, I know exactly what she's talking about. Like this, I feel like my butt's falling off. But with my second one, I actually didn't get horrible hemorrhoids because I didn't push for very long. And because my labor was pretty fast. Yeah. And I did not feel like that. I mean, it was still a little uncomfortable down there, but it wasn't like the degree of pressure, like the pressure from the hemorrhoids is really, really intense. So if you get hemorrhoids during your pregnancy, labor, delivery, they do get better, but you might feel like a lot of pressure down there.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah. So pain wise, I've already kind of touched on it a little bit with the tearing and the hemorrhoids and everything. Obviously that's kind of painful. Now in terms of cramping, I did have some cramping and that's normal, kind of postpartum. They kind of, you know, feel like contractions, unfortunately, and just kind of like a heavy, you know, if you've had a heavy period before, you have, you know, cramps when you have your period, it just kind of feels like that. So I did experience some of those and it was a little bit more intense when I was breastfeeding. So that probably on a scale of 0 to 10 was a 3 for me, but the hemorrhoids and the tearing and all of that was a little bit, you know, not super crazy high, but I remember that being more of what I was concerned about pain wise was my vagina and everything down there versus like the cramping. But I didn't really, I'm trying to think of like other pain that I experienced. I didn't have any like headaches or anything like that. My latch was good with Rylan, so I didn't have really any pain breastfeeding initially, except for that normal initially kind of when you start breastfeeding, if you, especially if it's your first time, you've never had a baby on your nipples at all. you will kind of have that initial pain when baby first latches, and then it usually goes away after a few seconds, after 10, you know, 15 seconds. It shouldn't, you know, be painful the whole time that you breastfeed unless there is like a latch issue. So I did experience that. And I remember that being painful initially when I would latch him on every time, not anything toe curling or like I would, you know, be, it would be really, really, really bad, but yeah, not, you know, you're like, oh yeah, this isn't so fun. I remember this pain with Walter, with when you first start breastfeeding, you kind of start training your nipples for breastfeeding, you know, breastfeeding a baby 8 to 20 times a day. and that initial kind of pain. But yeah, other than that, it was pretty okay. And it is so funny how quickly you recover. I mean, I remember that first 24 hours when I was in the hospital. Yeah, this isn't so fun. I'm having a lot of pain, but you know, a day after that, it would get better. A few days after that, you're like, okay, I'm feeling good. And then, you know, a good week or 2 weeks afterwards, I mean, I felt good other than the hemorrhoids and all. I don't want to scare people, but yeah, my hemorrhoids lasted a long time and those were not fun. But yeah, it is crazy how quickly, how bad that pain can be and how sucky like that postpartum recovery can be right then. But it does, your body does heal pretty darn quickly.
And do you think since it was a second baby, do you think your body's like, oh, I've been through this before, and it kind of like knows how to recover faster? Do you think that's a thing?
I think that happened for me. I don't think that's true for every single person. Uh-huh. But I do think that happened. I do think that somewhat happened with me. Yeah, it was just, okay. Or it was more not just my body saying, okay, I'm going to heal faster because I've been through this before. It was just also mm-hmm. my mind just knowing, right. That, okay, this about takes this long, you know, mm-hmm. to not feel pain from, and it's not that bad and it's just going to get better and all of that. So.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Well, let me ask you a question because I had this happen after I had my second baby. I felt great after I had him.
Yeah.
Had a natural delivery, no pain medication or anything. And like by day three was like out taking walks. Like I felt really, really great. Yeah. And then on day like five, probably four or five, I felt like a dump truck had hit me and like run over. And I was like, I didn't feel that way with my first one, which I got an epidural for the first one. And I'm always curious. So now I ask anyone that's had a baby without an epidural, if they felt that way or not, because I'm mm-hmm. curious if it's like something to do with the fact that
you didn't get anesthesia
medication or something.
Now I'm trying to think. I don't remember that happening. I remember it being pretty linear, like it being pretty bad initially. And then, yeah, I mean, I remember day three or so, or day two, whenever the first night I was home, I didn't feel so great, but I also attributed it to sleep. And once I started sleeping a little bit more, I felt okay. But no, I don't think I had that day four, day five. Now what happened probably day three or day four was my milk was really starting to come in and I felt like a dump truck hit me in that regard. So
yeah, I
yes
remember
and
you
no.
told me that,
yeah.
and that because you didn't feel that way with Walter. No. And then you were like, oh my gosh, I feel like I kind of have the flu sort of yes. like really crappy. And I was like, yeah, no, I felt that way with my first, when my mom came in. Like I remember shivering. Like I can clearly still remember when it came in. I was shivering and I felt like really, really cold all of a sudden and just felt like bleh under the weather.
Yeah.
But it came in, like with mine, it came in pretty intensely with my first one. So I think that's why. With my second one, I wasn't nursing him from the beginning. I was pumping more. So the milk actually didn't come in quite as intensely that second time. And I actually don't remember the distinction the second time around. But I wonder if, you know, your breastfeeding journey, which we're going to talk about, Walter compared to Rylan, has been different. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if that had something to do with it.
Yeah, I think it did. I mean, I remember it definitely being different with Walter. I think my milk came in day four, it was later, but it wasn't like I didn't have those feelings at all. Those kind of flu-like feelings and the shivering. I was colder, but it wasn't, it is almost like you feel like you're about to get the flu, but I didn't have a fever or anything, obviously. And it wasn't, yeah, I remember texting you and being like, is this like the start of mastitis or like, what is this? You know, and you're like, no, that happened with Wyatt and blah, 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 blah. It's probably, you know, hopefully it means you have good supply, which I do, which is great. So yeah, I do remember that, but yeah, in terms of like the 4 to 5 day kind of question in regard, you know, like epidural. No, I don't remember that happening, except for obviously the sleep issue. And once I started kind of getting a little bit more sleep, I felt better. But yeah, no, it wasn't. It almost sounds like you're describing that labor high, like lasting a little bit longer. And then you kind of like crash. Come down from it. Yeah. You kind of come down from it like day 4, day 5. Maybe that has something to do with it.
Well, I also am convinced that like, having a baby with an epidural is very different on your body than having a baby without an epidural. Like I was using muscles that I've probably never ever used in my life. Like, you know, when you have an epidural, for the most part, you kind of just lay there and you don't have to do anything. The nurse just moves you back and forth and back and forth. But when you're laboring without an epidural, like you're tense, you're trying to relax, but you're tense and you're using these muscles and it's like really, really hard on your body. So that's why I think that like, it's almost too like when you get into a car accident, you know how they say like day one's not that bad, but it's going to get worse on day like 3 to 4. So that's what I think that it was that like, it just took a couple days for my body to be like, whoa, what just happened to me?
I think you're right. And you know what? I will say, so I was a lot more active during this pregnancy and I worked out a whole lot more. I'm just stronger.
Yeah.
I'm just stronger. And I do remember that happening with Walter. It wasn't day 4. It was probably day 3 or day 2-ish where I did, you almost have muscle aches. You're like, I feel sore. Like I did get into a car accident. You're exactly right. I do remember that with Walter, but I don't remember that with, I almost called him Calvin. I don't remember that with Ryland. Maybe it's like, I'm not trying to say that you don't work out and you're
no,
not,
I, d- I you're didn't like work a wimp. Yeah, no, I didn't work out at all. Let's be clear. I gained like 50 pounds. Never worked out once.
But yeah, so, I did feel,
that's what I get.
But also my labor was, you know, a little bit shorter with him. And I mean, I definitely used all the same muscles. That's for sure. But yeah, I was, I guess, stronger. So maybe that, maybe that did have something to do with that.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Okay. So transitioning to Brian, how was he feeling like 24 hours after the delivery?
Yeah. So I don't think he'll completely admit to this, but he was different. He felt better after Rylan than he did Walter. He was still, I think, I'll say traumatized from watching me deliver another baby without any pain medicine and screaming my head off. But I think he was just able to, and I talked about that in the first episode, just mentally able to get through that and witness that. So 24 hours, those first 24 hours for him, I think were easier because I let him sleep, but he slept. He definitely slept good in the hospital, way better than he did with Walter. And so I think that probably had, you know, what was really, really good for him. And I remember not being jealous or anything of him sleeping. I remember being like, you sleep. I want you to get rest. I want you to sleep so you're good in case I need to like be out for the count. Like, I just want one of us like actually aware and good and like, you know, good on sleep. So, I mean, he slept. He's a pretty hard sleeper, so he doesn't wake up if, you know, I mean, gosh, he doesn't really wake up now when Rylan cries in the middle of the night, but he didn't really wake up that first night too much, you know, a little bit, but he wasn't up like I was up breastfeeding Rylan. So he got a good, you know, probably 6 hours of sleep that next night, which is, you know, fairly normal for him. And then he felt good. So, yeah, in terms of his physical, like mental kind of state, he was feeling good. I wish he was here to really like talk about how he felt, but I think he'll I don't know that he will completely admit, but I think he'll somewhat admit that this time was a lot easier on him mentally and physically and just the recovery in a lot of the same ways that I, you know, admit that just from experience.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually haven't talked to him a ton.
Yeah.
You guys had Ryland, and I need to do that because I'm curious what he would say about this delivery and like his takeaways from this one compared to Walter. Cause I know how he felt after Walter's.
And he was very vocal about
how he felt after Walter's.
Yeah. He was very vocal and he loves to tell that. Well, yeah, he loves to just educate people gently, about how it is to watch your wife and whoever deliver and have a baby and how it was very, very hard on him. And he was just not prepared. And I tell you guys this, you know, in my courses, in that partner section, I make that very, very clear to let your partners know that I was certainly unprepared for preparing him for Walter's delivery. And that's something that I did differently with this delivery, was prepare him a whole lot more. But he still was like, that was real hard to watch you screaming your head off like that, Lisa. Mm-hmm. But I think he was just, he was just a lot more mentally prepared, a lot more mentally prepared for it. So
yeah, that's never easy to see your loved one in like a huge amount of pain. And
it's not. And I've never had, now Tiffany, you saw Tara deliver. So you saw like your sister deliver, and I would be interested to see how that is. If it's like, cause Brian's my husband. He loves me like he's my husband. Yeah. And I love Jenna like she's my sister. So I'm interested to see if I have those feelings. That's different. Cause I'm a nurse, I'm a labor and delivery nurse, but like, I would wonder if it would be really, really hard for me to like watch Jenna give birth. It wasn't actually too hard for me to watch you give birth.
Yeah. I mean, that's actually maybe a good comparison. I mean, I'm obviously not your sister, but like a sister to you.
Yeah.
Watching my sister give birth, granted she had an epidural.
Yeah.
And I was taking pictures also. Yeah. So I was kind of, and you were doing the same thing for me in both of my deliveries. So that kind of pulls you out from it a little bit.
It does.
But no, it wasn't hard at all. And I think that's maybe because I am a labor and delivery nurse and I see it, and I was there like coaching more so. So I didn't feel this emotional like thing from it, but my mom was there also, when Tara gave birth. And I don't think my mom would say that either. Like, I don't think that it was difficult for her, but huge, huge, huge difference between epidural birth and no medication, no epidural birth. So I don't know. I want my sister to have a baby without an epidural so that I can see how she reacts. Cause I'm curious myself. So also, Jenna, no pressure or anything, but, you know, you're going to clearly have to let Liesl into your delivery when you have a baby.
And now I'm over here, like, if she can do it, like, I want to be able to have a freaking natural birth. Aww. Like, dang.
Oh yeah. But definitely don't.
Yeah. I know.
You got to do what's right for
exactly,
you. But you're totally right. And I want to say, so it's funny, cause like in your, so I was there both times with both of yours, Tiffany, and I was taking pictures both times. And like with, so funny. Now I'm like thinking about this again. So like with your first, it was also in the middle of the night, but I remember taking pictures and at the end being like, I might pass out, you guys. Like I just remember being so, so excited because number one, I didn't know if it was a boy or a girl. And number two, it was, you know, 3 a.m. and I'm just like wobbly because it's 3 a.m. and I'm not used to being up at this time of the night. And also I didn't eat a whole lot. So I wasn't eating a whole lot. So I just remember being like shaky from that. But I remember that. And I remember telling you that I was like, you know, being like, I almost passed out at the end there, like being behind the bed, taking pictures, like almost passed out. I definitely had to come out of the room afterwards and like eat a couple crackers and then, you know, I was okay. But yeah, with Callan or, you know, with your second, didn't feel like that. I mean, I was like, go Tiffany. I felt, you know, great. I mean, it was, you know, it sucks. I felt more empathy, you know, because like, I'm like, yeah, girl, I know what that feels like. It sucks, man. It sucks, but you're doing great. And it was, yeah, I felt definitely, yeah, I didn't feel like I was going to pass out. I felt like I was like, go, 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 go. Like, you know?
Yeah, that's so interesting.
Yeah.
Let's continue on here. How long did you stay in the hospital for?
Yeah, so I stayed in the hospital. It was a little bit over 24 hours, but so he was born at 4:30 in the morning. And so I couldn't leave at 4:30. You know, in the morning. So I waited till that morning and then we probably didn't leave, till the afternoon. And we had the option of staying that second night, but Brian and I both agreed that we both just sleep better and are just more comfortable in our own homes. And we just wanted to get back and see Walter and we just wanted to get home. So we were like, we're going to stay in the hospital one night, maybe, you know, a little bit that next day and then go home. So we were there, I don't know, you know, whatever it was. I think we got home actually, it was about dinner time. So I remember we took that big, you know, we got dinner from the hospital and we ate the dinner. So it was probably 36 hours, you know, we were in the hospital.
So let's talk about how the introduction went when Walter got to meet Rylan for the first time.
Yeah. So I want to say this was one of those like expectation versus reality. And it wasn't what I expected because he was not, I mean, he wasn't like, who is this? Like, bleh. He didn't have that reaction, but it was a weird time of day. It was probably, cause we got home, it was probably 5 o'clock when we got home, 5:30 when we got home. And then I called my mom who had my, you know, my parents had him. So they probably didn't get there until 6:30 or 7 o'clock at night. And he hadn't eaten dinner at that point either. So he was just kind of cranky because he hadn't eaten dinner. It was like getting close to his bedtime. So he came in, I remember he had like a little, like stuffed dinosaur for Rylan. He came over and just kind of was like, oh, like the baby. Oh, and then that was kind of it. And then he was like, where's my present?
Exactly.
Where's the present from the baby, mommy? And then we did that, but he was just kind of a little bit crankier because he was with my parents. My parents were still there and it was just a lot of stuff going on when, you know, they were there, but he was talking at the same time. So yeah, it wasn't like, I wasn't like, oh my God, it's so cute. I don't remember that feeling at all. I just remember it being like, okay, Walter, he's interested. And then he's like, where's my present?
Yeah, I wasn't there for when Walter met Rylan in person, but I was there when he first saw him on FaceTime. And at first he was just like, oh, mommy had the baby. And then he's just like, can we play? Like, over it.
Probably a good thing to just like remember, you know, expectation versus reality.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, I love as a labor and delivery nurse, I love it when older siblings are able to come in the room and I get to watch that first interaction because it's usually really, really sweet. And you probably expected that it was going to be like that or thought that it was going to be like that. That it wasn't like what you thought it was going to be.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not
horrible. It's not like you cried, but exactly. like
it wasn't as sweet. And like you told me, because I remember that night, we were texting and I was like, oh my gosh, send a picture, send a video. And you're like, I didn't even take any pictures or videos of him meeting him the first time. And my mind was blown that that wasn't even, you know, that you didn't do that, but it didn't happen.
Yeah, no, it was like so quick. It was like, oh, look at the baby. Okay, what are we doing next? So where's my present?
Yeah.
You know, it was like not, I was trying, I had thought about that. Like maybe I video him as he's coming in, but I also just wanted to experience it myself. So I didn't want to be with my phone, you know, recording him, or even have Brian like with my phone or whatever. So yeah, if it had come up, I think if he had been like a lot cuter, I would have grabbed my phone and like taken some pictures, or if he was like all over him, whatever. Yeah, but yeah, it was just very brief and very like, oh, cool, you had the baby. Okay, what's next?
What about the gift that you gave him? You highlighted that on your Insta story. You made him this, you know, basket, I think it was.
Yeah.
How did that go? And like, how was it received? Is there anything you would have done differently?
Yeah. So definitely, I mean, it was great at first. It definitely kept him busy for that night and then like a few days. And he was very, very excited about it. And it wasn't, I think it certainly helped him get excited about something. So like he's 3.5. I wanted it to be like Christmas morning for him. And this is also, we're talking about expectation versus reality. I'm like trying to, you know, I want him to experience this. Is he really going to? I don't know. But I was trying to, you know, I know he's like his love language. I already said this to Tiffany. I was like, his love language is gifts because the kid loves little presents. So, I got him this big, it was just a big basket of stuff that I knew he would like and stuff that would kind of keep him busy. So he had a blast opening that, you know, and just like seeing all the toys that first night. But I think one thing that I definitely would do differently and telling people to do differently, and this is all dependent on your kid, obviously, but I think I gave him too much stuff initially. So like, I think I would have spread the presents out. So like, okay, this is if we got 5 presents, this is like day 1 present. And let's see how long this keeps your attention. Maybe it's 3 days and then I give him the next present. And then it's like, you spread it out. Cause like after a while he kind of would get tired of the stuff and forget about what was in here. And it's like, okay, what's next? What are we doing next? So that would probably be something I should have done differently, is like, either just, you know, got him one present that kept his attention, or still got him all that good stuff, but just kind of give it to him over a longer period. So it kept his attention more.
So let's talk about when you took Ryland to his first pediatrician appointment. So what happened at the very first appointment, and when did you take him?
Yeah. So we both go to, it's a family practice here. They're called the Fisher Clinic. I'll say the name of it, but it's a great family practice here in Raleigh. And I've been taking Walter there since he was about a year, maybe 15 months old. We weren't crazy about our pediatrician with him initially, like when in that first year of his life. So I was looking for a different practice. So we found this family. He's a family physician. So I see him, he's my doctor, he's Walter's doctor. Brian doesn't see him because he has a family doctor that he's seen his whole life. So he sees a different doctor, and now Ryland sees him. So I love that. And I just love him. He takes just such good care of Walter and of me. So I naturally, you know, wanted him to see Ryland. So I called them, while I was in the hospital, and let them know that I had delivered. And then I probably came that next day after I got home. Yeah. So it was I guess he was 48 hours old, you know, a little bit more. Yeah. 48 hours old, day 2 of life. And I brought him in and weighed him, and he had still lost a little bit of weight. I can't exactly remember numbers, but it's normal for babies to lose weight initially after they're born. And he was still, you know, had lost weight from birth, but I think he was already starting to gain. I think he was already starting to gain back weight. I can't exactly remember, but they weren't concerned about his weight. So that was one thing that was really, really important that they did, was weigh him, make sure that he wasn't, in a super deficit, because that's what happened with Walter. And that's really kind of what I attribute a lot of my breastfeeding issues on, is that he lost a little bit too much weight initially, and they were concerned about him, and they said, hey, we want you to, you know, supplement him with formula. Your milk's not completely in. And so, you know, we did that with Walter, and with Ryland, he was fine. You know, he wasn't losing weight substantially. Like, I think it was like 3% loss or something, like not crazy. So I was like, okay, great. You know, that means like we're doing great. So weighed him, did some other measurements, and my doctor, I mean, he knows me, he knows that I know what I'm doing. So it wasn't a super long appointment where they're explaining to you how to, you know, count how many peas and poops, and explaining to you about jaundice, and explaining, you know, all of this stuff that you need to be doing. It was kind of just like, hey, like, how's breastfeeding doing? And he even asked me questions about me that, my pediatrician, you know, with Walter wasn't, you know, asking me like, hey, how's your tear? Hey, how's your bleeding? How are you feeling? How is this? Blah, 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 blah. And so he kind of assessed me as well in that appointment, which was really nice. But I would say, don't expect that as much. It would be great if pediatricians did that, but don't expect that from your pediatrician. That's probably because he knows me and he's also my doctor. So that was that first appointment. I took him home. It was very, you know, very, very quick appointment, took him home. And then since he was good, we didn't come back for 2 weeks, it was 2 weeks. And then at that 2 week appointment, he had, gained, you know, well past his birth weight. So they were like, okay, you're good. We won't have to see you for a while now. So yeah, I think it's different. I would be interested to see if that appointment would have been any different, because with Walter, that first appointment, they kind of just go over a lot of stuff with you and kind of hit you with a lot of information. And I think it was, you know, mainly because you're a first time mom. So I'd be interested to see if that's any different. I guess, Timothy, did you see the same pediatrician for both your boys? Do you feel like your appointment was any different, like for your first one versus your second?
Yeah. So I, do have the same pediatrician for both of them. Mm-hmm. But the group that I go to, Oberlin Road, in Raleigh, which is another awesome, awesome pediatrician group. Mm-hmm. They, have like 7 or 8 providers probably. And the newborn appointment is just with like whoever's available. Mm-hmm. It's not with your like one that you stay consistent with, because they do, you know, they like continuity of care there. So
yeah.
Who you decide to see is like the same person that they want you to continue to see for well, visits, just so that they get familiar with your baby and whatnot. But yeah, the first one with Wyatt was definitely longer, but we were also breastfeeding and having some issues. So Oberlin Road has a lactation consultant on staff with them. So mm-hmm. they brought her in and were like able to talk to me and have her kind of assess latch and like help answer some questions and whatnot. So yeah, we were there for a while, like at least an hour, I would say. And they let me do a weighted feed while I was there too, which was super helpful. And then with Callan, we weren't breastfeeding. We were just pumping and bottle feeding at that point. So the weight thing wasn't as much of an issue with him. He hadn't lost quite as much weight. So yeah, we were maybe only there with him for like 20 minutes, maybe.
Yeah, I know. That's the same experience. It was like much more extensive the first time. Yeah. And I think I did a weighted feed with Walter while I was there. I know I did, I don't know if I did it at that first appointment, but I know I did it a few times at the pediatrician before, but I was like, I don't need to
yeah.
do this. But I know he's yeah. getting enough. He's peeing a lot.
Yeah. Like I just felt totally different. And like, I, you know, the comfort level, obviously having your second baby compared to your first one is drastically different.
Yes.
So yeah, we didn't have like a lot of questions. We just kind of went in, he checked him out, he listened to his heart and his lungs and did a quick assessment of him. He asked me how I was doing. That is something different, which is kind of interesting you know, that I hadn't really thought about. When you have a baby, your OB or your midwife, whoever you're seeing, you, you know, in the United States, you usually only get one appointment with them, right. About 6 weeks after. But, you know, that's interesting that you, who you go see is also your like PCP, yeah. because they were able, you know, he was able to talk to you about mm-hmm. how you were doing. Really, the only conversation I can remember having with my boy's pediatrician was they do a depression screening at yeah. every single appointment you come into. And that is standard and like required. So they do that. And I remember they asked like, generally, how are you doing?
How are you doing?
Yeah. But it wasn't anything specific. I mean, they didn't know like anything about me physically or like how my labor was or anything like that.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And I remember, I don't think I talked fully about my, maybe I did. I don't even know. I mean, I like to talk. So I probably was like, oh yeah, this happened and this happened, blah, 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 blah. But I don't remember him asking about that, but I remember him asking like, okay, you know, how did you tear? Like, how's your recovery going? Are you having, cause I talked about my hemorrhoids and I was like, oh God, these are terrible, blah, 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 blah. So I do, yeah, I do remember that. Okay guys. So we decided since we've been talking, postpartum is a, there's a lot that goes into postpartum. There's a lot that goes into delivery and birth. And that was a very long episode as well, but there's a lot that goes into postpartum. So we decided to split this episode up into two parts. So this episode, we've kind of wrapped up these questions, and then stay tuned. The second part two of this episode is going to come out a week from today. So we're going to talk even more about my postpartum experience, talk about how I was, you know, with breastfeeding. I talked about that briefly already, but talk about more with breastfeeding, talk about my 6 week postpartum appointment that I just had, pelvic floor PT, you know, transitioning, you know, second, now being a second time mom, I'll talk about that a little bit more and juggling, you know, Walter and having a newborn. So definitely stay tuned for that. But thank you guys, Tiffany and Jenna, for being here today with me to at least start the conversation of postpartum, because it's very, very important and very enlightening. Because I think you both, well, Jenna hasn't experienced postpartum yet, but nope. Tiffany will agree that it that it is a slap in the face, I guess, is the best way to do it. You're just, it's not
hard.
It's hard. It's very, very hard. And there's a lot that
goes very into involved it. Too. Very
it's
involved.
Very involved. It's very involved.
We didn't even realize how involved it was until we were developing the content for this podcast. And we were like, whoa, I have like two pages of questions that we could talk about. And even that doesn't hit everything.
Yeah. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. It doesn't. Yeah. Yeah. So, all right, guys. Well, we'll see you on postpartum Liesl part two.
All right, so that is it for this episode of the Mommy Labor Nurse Podcast. You probably follow me on Instagram because that's probably where you came from. But if you don't, head over to Instagram and follow me at mommy.labornurse for more. That is certainly where I am most active. I also now have a separate Instagram for just this podcast, so I encourage you to follow my second account at mommylabornurse.podcast as well if you want podcast updates. Again, that is at mommylabornurse.podcast. As always, you guys know that I also have a website where I have tons of articles all about pregnancy, birth, breastfeeding, newborn stuff, and more at www.mommylabornurse.com. I want to hear more from you on how much you love this episode of the podcast or how you think I can improve. So leave me a comment on one of my pictures, send me a DM, or send me an email with all the love. All right, guys, I will see you same time, same place next week.